Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another interesting episode of
That's So Bro.
That's So Bro. Today's topic that we want to talk about is something that's very close to almost every brown kid's heart.
I think every brown kid's heart.
Every brown kid's heart.
And yellow kid does.
Okay. All the kids of all the colors. All your hearts. And that is the fear of failure.
Failure, oh my god, I mean, starting this podcast also we had that fear, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we still do to some extent.
what does this word failure mean to you? I mean,
over time I learned, or rather honestly I just read somewhere, but it made a lot of sense to me. To me, the fear of failure is if it is the end of the world, right? And I meet the person who I could have become. And there's no more chances. There's no more, oh, I can try tomorrow. That's it. If I meet the most successful version of myself and think I could have become this person, that would have been the biggest sense of failure for me.
Man, what are you taking to see yourself? I want some of that. Oh, that's a really powerful mirror.
Yeah. It's very, very real. But okay, fine. Jumping to the comedy aspect, the aspect of it. What does failure mean to you?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When we were writing the script, when we were thinking about it, I really was thinking, oh my God. You know, I never really thought what failure could be. I just experienced it.
Right.
You know, it's like a feeling you feel and, you know. But then when you think about it, failure is a perception of self.
Right.
You have a goal. Right? In your mind, you have a goal, right? Let's say I want to do this exam. I want to pass this exam. Or let's say I want to buy this car when I'm this age, mm-hmm. right? And you don't achieve this goal, right? You have this sense of failure inside of you. It's you making yourself feel that you didn't achieve the goal.
Right.
Or it could be not even your own perception. It can be the perception of outside, especially in a country like Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Outside influence. If you are an auntie now,
there we go.
My neighbors, my back house auntie, all these aunties, they create this goal in their minds, and when you hear them talking about it, and you know, they're like, "Ah, oh, your son still not married, your son not did that exam, has not completed that exam, my son has done." Then that sense of failure comes into you.
Right.
So I believe that the sense of failure is something you bring into yourself by yourself, right, because of perceptions that you have created, goals or other people's perceptions.
Right.
So I feel that is what failure is. It's something you bring about yourself to your own ego, I feel.
You think it's a self-downloaded thing?
Self-downloaded thing. If you have a way to not look at it, maybe look at it a different way, maybe it won't be as much, but as kids, you know, we see this only, you know, that's what our parents like, look left and we're like, you know, but nowadays, you know, you can't only look left, no, sometimes right side also pretty, no, so as it broadens out, you have to see it in a different way, I feel.
Yeah, but I think also in especially our societies, man, I don't think you get that perception, that broad perception, until you get to like our age, whereas maybe in Western societies, you get exposed to, I don't have to live by the rules and regulations my parents set down, but here it is, if I don't, it's either a slipper that's coming at me or a hanger that's coming at me or something in between. Whatever's called a remote, a book or something like that.
But that's the first cardio I've had.
Oh, yeah. I still can sense when there are slippers in the room because I'm so aware. That can be thrown at me at this angle. So I need to use this to dodge that, protect myself by flinching this way or maybe moving this way. Which is great, actually.
I mean, my shoe size is about 12 or 13, so God really screwed me both ways.
Failure, man. When it comes to failure, do you think it all started back at school?
Yeah, I think even school, maybe even your own home with your family.
Mm-hmm.
The problems of a child, like right now, I have a daughter.
Right.
I have friends with similar age kids, 2 to 3 years.
Right.
And you can see that whole thing is there where, like, oh, my daughter can walk. My daughter can sing.
All right.
My daughter can climb that, you know. And those words, I know they don't understand it. Like right. those, this ba, ba, boo, ba, bee, ba, that's how they talk, no? But I feel like even though they don't understand the words, they understand the body language.
Right.
A child can understand when you are not having that sense of disappointment, you know? Then the sense of failure gets transferred at that time.
Right.
I feel like it starts at that point. But obviously in school, it multiplies by 1 million times, you know? I mean, have you felt failure in school?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, I think at one time, a phrase from my mom that still very much haunts me. And I know this lady absolutely loves me. If you're watching, everything else you said so far trumps this. But I still remember I got really bad grades. I think in form two, so that's grade 7. And she said that your grades aren't worth 5 cents. Right, and it's basically or whatever it is, and then it at that age it just really really hit really hard, and I didn't know what to say outside of I'm sorry I tried, and how to make it up to this lady who deep down I know is trying her best to put me through school, and that I think still up to now I'm 32. Back then I was 14, 15 maybe, so it has lived with me for almost half my life. So like you said, man, I think that little bit of comparison is always downloaded and instilled in you. And it always started with, personally at least, grades in school. But again, bringing it back to the fact that now that we're both 30-year-old men, as a father, what do you think why do you think your parents pushed you through all that quote-unquote negativity and pressure of comparing you to kid ABC?
Well, I feel like they wanted us to have the best version of whatever is out there. Like, if you get good grades, you get better universities, you get better jobs, you know, and they didn't want us to waste our time with other activities, you know, like get good grades or do good well in sports. Don't waste time hanging out. Don't waste your energy doing other things. You need to focus on these things. And they set this bar.
Right.
And then when you don't reach that bar, for example, me, like you said, your mom said, not worth 50 cents. That's something you could say much later when she's much older and you had to drop her off in Elders home. You'd be like, Ami, remember that?
Well...
Auntie, I hope you're not watching.
I mean, I'm not going to do that. you see, this is the thing, right? In brown cultures, because we don't have enough money to move out, and because it's very comfortable to live with our parents, we choose to live with our parents, and this is going to get kicked out of my own house. So, Ami, if you're watching this episode, which you will be, he said that. I didn't say anything.
Hi, Ami.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so... if you don't match the bar that your parents have created for you in school,
right?
Like for me, for example, my parents were very strict,
right.
Especially my mom. She was very strict. And if I get less marks, you know, I'm afraid to go home.
Right.
I was terrified to go home. I wouldn't go home. I'd probably go to my auntie's house, my dad's sister's house.
Oh, okay. I thought this is your neighbor's house.
No. Neighbors, they also scold me. No?
Uh-huh.
They have like a United Against Yoshan front. It's more powerful than any political party out there.
Do they bring their own merchandise as well, like print T-shirts and cups? And
I mean, they feed information to my mom,
uh-huh.
and then my mom gets.
Right, it's an information center.
It's information. They're like, wow. We don't need CCTV in our road.
Your neighbors just
Wow. It's like that's where Wikipedia was born. It's like all the information is there. You need any doubt, you just come to my road and ask. You open the talk. Who's the president of Sri Lanka? And they'll tell you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to... So the bar set by your parents,
right.
The bar set by your family, yeah? You don't reach it. And then you're afraid to go home. I mean, I was afraid because there was a very strict policy of getting those certain marks. You lose some privileges. Maybe you don't get to watch TV for a few days. PlayStation 1 gets removed, you know?
Right.
Then some harsh words can be said, like my mom used to say, again, mom, if you're watching this, you know, podi kaleva, don't worry about it. My mom used to say that, you know, my dad's in the hot sun, because my dad's a civil engineer.
Right.
So he'll be in the hot sun working in the construction site and you're just hanging out with friends and wasting all his money kind
right.
of a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So all those things brought a lot of fear and kind of helped me study also, that fear.
Right.
But also it created this pressure, yeah, that as a kid I didn't know how to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
And failure was very much there. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It was very much there. Did you do any extracurricular activities other than studying?
Absolutely not.
No, but you did have hobbies.
Yes, playing video games.
So do you think your parents were proud about it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. My mom was used to like very, very frequently come to my room and say, "Wow, Amanda, how far did you come in the game of Pokemon?" I said, "Ami, I beat the next gym leader." She's like, "Wow, high five."
Wow, I'm glad she caught you playing Pokemon and not something else.
Yeah, Yashan, there's nothing else to play. Pokemon was the only thing I played. But no, I don't think extracurriculars that I look, and I'll be very, very honest with you. There was a girl in school I tried to impress.
Ooh, I love this story.
Because I was kind of on the heavier side of things. I had some sort of like external strength. And Yashan, stop being like that, Yashan.
I
had some sort of external strength. And I did shot put, disc, and I think jab. Of which shot put, I absolutely was ridiculous. I failed that. Disc also, I threw at the crowd or something. And jab, I placed fifth, if I'm not wrong.
I'm going to
out of like five people.
I'm going to sidetrack a little bit. I also did the same events at school.
Ah, nice. Okay.
I mean, I was really good at shot put, putt shot, shot a putter.
Didn't have to.
Discuss. I also threw it in the audience.
Oh, there we go.
Because the night.
Nice.
Fat fight. So what happened was the night before the event.
Okay.
There was some, I think, an Olympic thing that was happening, and I saw people were spinning and doing it, and I thought it was really cool. But my coach told me specifically not to do it, just throw it like a normal person, apparently, because we are not professional athletes. Usually, we used to practice 2-3 weeks before the event.
Right.
Like, God, that's a sports speed. Okay, let's practice, let's do this. I saw the video, I thought it's cool. I started spinning,
and
I didn't know how to stop the spin, and the disc went up.
It went up.
The disc you threw that way went up. Up over the, there was like a net kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It went over the net and into the crowd. And I was like, that must be a record. It was like negative 10 meters.
Wow.
And javelin, oh man. I need to stab my own foot.
Oh, God, okay. Jab, I loved. Jab, like, I could do. I don't know how you threw it upwards, but hey, man, at least you reached a new goal in a new way.
Yeah, but I did some extracurricular activities. I did quite a bit. I would say like athletics was kind of a hobby. Like when there was an event coming up, they need to fill a slot like for these events. I used to volunteer and go for those.
Okay.
Failing those didn't have that much of an impact.
Okay.
Because there was no pressure.
Right.
People were not expecting things out of, yeah. They were like, oh, Yashan's performing, let's go have fun.
Right.
And you could hear everyone getting together, laughing their asses off. But there were certain sports that I was good at. That was, I would say, karate.
Okay.
I was really good at it when I was in school.
Right.
And those events had this pressure of me winning.
Okay.
And when I didn't win, I mean, sometimes I won, sometimes I lost. And that fear of losing was so crippling that sometimes I would lose the game thinking about losing.
Oh, wow.
It has happened to me so many times. I mean, I'm sure our audience who are listening to us would also feel that. Share your stories. We have a comment section down below.
The rest of you failures. But do you think, man, that parents force their kids to do the sports they want their kids to do so that they can live through their kids' victories?
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know. I don't want to be that father, but sometimes when I talk about my daughter's future, I feel like I'm already doing it.
No, okay,
and I have to check myself.
He's one of the parents.
I have to check myself and pull myself out of it because I always think that, oh, you know, I want her to do some contact sport. I would love for her to play cricket, you know. I would love to be the president of some club, this and that. But then my wife would be like, she's two.
Okay.
And I would like, yeah, you know, I'm just saying it. I don't want to be that.
Right.
But I feel like I am going down that path and I'm trying my best not to.
Okay.
And I think there'll be a generational thing. You know, like in that generation, people didn't think it that way.
Okay.
They'd be like, oh, my son is going to do it.
My son has to do it.
My son has to do it. But now I think people are more, again, open-minded, you know.
I also feel that it's you know, this whole legacy sports thing, where so your dad did basketball and your grandfather did basketball and his father invented the basketball, so therefore you have to now become the basketball man. I also feel that there's that added pressure when parents stake their reputation on their kids, and now for some reason I have to go out there and be Captain Basketball, even though I just love arts or pottery or something like that. Was that something you went through?
My parents didn't do the sport I did.
Okay.
But they enjoyed us doing sport, especially my father.
Okay.
He would be very proud, you know, like, oh, my son's doing this, my son's doing that. But I don't know if they lived through their wants through me. I cannot say that, because the sports they did and I did was very different.
Right.
But I felt like our successes, they lived through our successes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, if we won something, they'll be like, oh, my son won. They would call people over. We'll have a, you know, a shindig, you know.
Right.
So, but when I lost, it was like silence, you know. Like,
oh.
Because I feel like they also didn't know how to approach failure. Because, again, their parents more tougher.
Right.
You have to think of that. Like, as you go back generation by generation, the parents are getting tougher and tougher.
Right.
And I feel like now people are seeing it different. It's getting a bit more slacker. You know, like participation awards. I don't think we had it when we were in school.
No, because I can relate to that. Because I also did the karate of Tae. So we took part in an under-16 tournament. And we were 12. Molly hit one guy and got 3 fouls.
The ref.
No, Molly just hit this guy in places he was not supposed to. He punched his face twice and then hit him somewhere where, you know, that he's supposed to have children from there, so he got disqualified. My thing, bro, was, so as 12-year-old kids, one of my friends placed first and I got second. And I thought, because halfway through this event, I very, very strongly remember I was breaking down. Right, the realness of all of this was getting to me, a reclusive 12-year-old whose only passion was to capture all 151 Pokemon and get all 8 badges. And the fact that my parents were there and my karate instructor was there and his sensei was also there, it was all too real for me. All right, so I took my dad outside and said, I want to go home. Halfway through, and he was like, no, you just have a bit more to do, just finish it off. And I just really didn't want to do it. But because my dad said so, I somehow convinced myself. And I got placed second, all right? My mom's like a mother, right? So she was like so proud. Even if I placed last, she'd be like, ah, that's okay, darling. It's just academics apparently with her. But suppose she's like, oh, you ran something? That's crazy. Come, take a seat. Let me feed you. So I was happy with it. Dude, I saw the look of like disappointment in dad's face. And the only thing he said to me was, you couldn't get first. Huh? And that's the only thing I remember from that.
He still has that face.
Yeah. it's since then. My dad has that face.
He doesn't listen to podcasts, does he?
No. and even if he did, man, like, I understand now that I'm 32, like, my dad and I have worked through most things and we've come to like an understanding. So I know where he came from. And again, like you said, like, his dad was super strict on him. Like, they wouldn't even have communication. So what little communication I have with the person who grew up with a person who had no communication, I'm super grateful for. But again, as a child, the only thing I can very strongly remember, the words that my father told me was, I can't believe you couldn't come first after all of that. And I was so heartbroken that, like, when you're a child, man, right, your superhero is your dad, right? No matter what's said, you can watch any cartoon in the world, but he's still the strongest, bravest man out there. So when your superhero looks down on you, it shattered me, bro. So I never took part in a competition after that. I think I even almost lost a part of my will to do karate anymore because of that. So that's why I brought up when this whole reputation thing comes up, because from what I know, Tati was a jock. My dad was a proper jock. He used to cross-country run and basketball and boxing and all that. how he placed, I have no idea if he came first or second. But
if he came first, you would know.
Good point. Great point. All right. But I still think, man, so these are the things. When it comes to academics, I remember my mom saying, you're not worth 5 cents. When it comes to sports, I remember my dad saying, after all that, you couldn't come first. So these are still things, to a certain extent, I still bring with me. Right? I might have worked my way through that, but I still bring that. But moving past that, and a very pivotal point in a guy's life would be your first dating a girl or courting a girl or asking a girl out situation.
I think that's the real failure.
That's the third point. That's my third reason why. But how was the girl situation with you? This is in school, okay? I know you were stud, Yoshan. I know you were an athlete. And don't bring it up too much so I feel too much of a failure again. Just like very slightly, just drizzle a bit and then you can go.
So, I faced a lot of failures when it came to girls in school, like a lot. I mean, I had a few successes.
Oh, there we go, okay.
Yeah, but there was still a lot of failures. Mostly because I was a dumb teenager. I didn't know how to approach a girl. And I thought, you know, if I was loud and showing my muscles and, you know, jumping around, they would like me.
Oh, that doesn't work?
It doesn't work, apparently. Oh. That is what apes do. The only thing I didn't do was throw feces at her. I did everything else.
Right. Okay.
So,
and if you apes out there.
If you're a person who's still young and haven't figured it out, as you get older, you figure things out. And right. You realize that maybe a simple hello is more better than you going, what's up, check out this. Anyway, yeah, a simple hello can do. So I have had a lot of failures. But honestly, those failures made me a better person. Like, I would analyze myself.
Right.
Why didn't she talk to me? Why? And most of these girls, they became my friends, and I was able to talk to them.
They friend zoned you. Failure right there, sir.
They friend zoned me, but I was able to learn a lot about my approach, what I did. They would be like, maybe try something new, something else. And as I, you know, experimented with this stuff, again, a lot of failures. One success here and there. Every now and then, there was a success. And but I was able to handle it pretty well because, again, I would feel like there was no pressure on that.
Right.
There was no pressure. You must date, you must.
Right.
As you get older. As you get older.
As you get older.
You know, suddenly your mother will wake up and be like, Puta padi nadda.
Just one day out of the blue.
Out of the blue. It's like she has a dream. I don't know. She sees a monkey going on a mango tree, and that's a sign. Well, that joke really went wrong almost.
Monkeys are mango trees.
Yeah. So then suddenly she'll be like, Puta padi nadda. And then that is the time you feel your pressure.
Right.
And that is the time where that failure is different from the school failure.
Right.
Right? Okay, your first love, that failure is going to be really bad.
Right.
You're going to think that that's the end of your life. That's because you know nothing.
Right.
You're a dumbass. Right? But as you grow up, that first love becomes second love, third love, fourth love, and then it's like a multiple choice examination.
Right.
But till your parents get involved into that equation,
right,
that failure is not that much. Like, you will probably listen to Celine Dion song, or I don't know what breakup songs you listen to nowadays.
Well, Celine Dion. Huh? If that doesn't tell you what age gap they have, yeah.
What songs did you listen to, Mr. I'm Very Young?
What is the concurrent heartbreak? Billie Eilish, man. I listen to... No, I don't listen to Billie Eilish songs. I used to listen to very sad punk rock songs. So very emo songs. So it wasn't Celine Dion, it was just very sad guitar songs.
Evanescence, what? I don't know.
I don't like Evanescence.
But that's a breakup song.
Blink 182, man, and then Sum 41, man, and then Green Day, man. Like, whatever sad songs they would emote through me, I'd just flow into a guitar riff and just say, yeah.
Man, we wouldn't have been friends in school.
No, not really.
Yeah, so, yeah, you figure things out, but once your parents and your family gets into the equation, then the pressure builds up. They'll be like, badin nadda. Api naaki, you know, we want to see you being looked after.
Right.
Then that pressure comes. Then that failure is totally different, right? Because now you have a time. It's a make-believe time. It's not a real time.
It's, okay.
It's a fake clock created by your family.
Right.
Right? You have been pushed into this sudden pressure that you need to date someone.
Right. Monkey in a mango tree situation.
Yeah, monkey in the mango tree situation. Because in school, you were told not to look at a girl. You were not to look at a guy. And then suddenly, you're like, marry.
Right.
There's no talk or date or no, you just marry.
Okay.
The neighbor has a woman, she just got a period, marry.
Okay.
Or something in along those lines.
But.
You get what I'm saying.
Right.
You get what I'm saying. So, yeah. So, then that pressure is a bit hard. I mean, do you feel it? I feel like you are.
To a certain extent now. But I think what I happened to do was I explained to my mom that given the economic situation that we have, it wouldn't be too wise for me to be in a relationship because I wouldn't be able to give my wife and my child the life they deserve had I been a bit more settled in life.
I'm like your father right now. You couldn't come first.
Actually, my sister came first, so, you know, the pressure's on her. But yeah, man, I think...
Yes, Aki.
Yeah, Aki.
We're watching you, Aki.
Okay. I think what happened to me, bro, is I was able to very strongly tell my parents that this isn't what I want, considering my life and like the jobs I do. And lucky for me, I think they actually understood that to a certain extent. So I think in that aspect, I'm pretty much okay. But is that why you got married?
No.
No, right?
I just happened to meet someone great.
Oh, okay.
Just as my parents started, you need to marry. I had already met my wife by then and I was like, in your face.
Uno reverse, I found somebody.
My mom's like, you can tell us if you're gay, you know? And I'm like, I have a girlfriend.
What's a make-believe girlfriend?
Yeah, so now the pressure's on my brother. I can feel it, but my brother's tough. My parents don't really ask him too many questions. He's a scary dude. He's a nice dude, but he's a bit scary.
That's actually interesting. Did you ever feel a sense of failure that was put onto you because your sibling was slightly more successful than you?
Well, growing up, he was forced to look up to me.
Right.
He was forced. Like, I has this, I has that, I has this.
Aya was tall also.
Aya was taller. Aya was doing so many things. Mali was just this quiet guy in school.
Right.
But at one point, he peaked.
Okay.
And then suddenly, everyone's like, hey, look at Mali.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So he peaked and he was more popular. He was doing sports. He started being not the quiet person. He was so active in everything. He just changed suddenly. Then he went to university. He was the most happening person. So then the focus changed. They were like, oh, look, Mali's doing that. Mali's this. Mali's that, you know. So, again, it didn't affect me much.
Okay.
At all, I would say. Because I have done the best that I could.
Right.
Right. But I felt that my brother may have had some pressure in the beginning. Uh-huh. Where they were like, Aya's doing that. Aya's doing this. Why can't you also?
Why can't you?
So, I guess the fear of failure.
Right.
Was something more than failing itself.
Right.
The fear of the possibility of failing is something that brown kids or even yellow Asian kids, I would say. Yeah.
Brown rice and yellow rice.
Yeah. I mean, the fear of failure. Now, in Western countries, I have some friends abroad. They take a gap year, go around the world.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's all great, you know.
Yeah.
But we have this fear. If I take the gap year, will I fall behind my friends?
And it's always that comparison. Will you fall behind your friends? It's not that you fall behind in life in general.
No. Will I fall behind? If I take the summer off, what if I cannot get my job back?
Right.
Yeah. So it's the fear of not knowing what's going to happen and the fact that you're afraid to fail. And we as brown kids, we have it a lot, I would say.
Right.
Like, we have exceptions. I won't say all of us are like that.
Right.
Like, this entrepreneurial mentality people, they have it, but they are willing to face it.
Right.
People like us, we don't have that entrepreneurial because we are scared.
Right.
Make it a sali damot, sali gana. You know, something like that.
Will
that
it float or sink, yeah.
Do you feel like you don't have it?
So, my thing, bro, was I had to take a chance on life. I did 6 years of corporate. Right, and I hated it. I worked as a brand manager, and given my age at that time, I was relatively successful. Like, the money was good. I had quite a bit of money coming in as well, and I was getting my act cleaned up, so I was retaining a lot of that money, but every night I knew I would have to go to a place that I hated. So I had to pull myself out of that. When I pulled myself out of that, I used all the savings I had at that point to invest into flight school, cabin crew training, and that was all my savings. So again, no plan B. This was just plan A. And this again was much to my mother's chagrin, because she hated the fact that I was leaving such a well-paying job without a definite safety net. Did the cabin crew thing, got into Mihin Lanka. Mihin Lanka was 3 flights, and then Mihin Lanka was luckily absorbed in Sri Lankan Airlines. Did the Sri Lankan Airlines skit for 2 years as cabin crew, and they also did after the first bit of it. Maybe some people like it. I absolutely hated it, right? But then I realized that life is just way too short for you to live by the
social norms.
Not even social norms. Just the phrase of you saying, you know what? It's okay, right? I can survive with this job. You're not thriving. You're not living. You're just surviving day to day. And that is a terrible way to live, because you don't know when you'll go. And that is your legacy. That's the story you'll tell if you ever have a future. I decided to just let it be. You're going to go with the flow like a dead fish would. And then I didn't want that to be my legacy. So again, I took a chance on life. I left that terrible job for me, and I put everything into modeling.
Can I interject for a moment?
Yeah.
At any point, like when you gave up your first corporate job, or when you gave up Sri Lankan Airways,
right?
At any point, did you feel, oh, I have failed this? Or no, when no, you were always going to the next one, were you afraid, I'm going to fail that? That's the one that I want to know.
No. When I was leaving my corporate job, when I was leaving Abans, I knew I had made it. The position I could fill was, I think AGM, general manager, and then director, and that's just years of experience that I didn't want to waste. When it came to cabin crew, from what I remember or what I know, my next promotion to leading would have been in 10 years, because the turnover rate is so low in Sri Lankan Airlines, because everybody wants to stay there, and I didn't want to spend 10 years there. And in cabin crew, you'd understand the shift from this to your next position is you shift from this seat to literally this seat, and you're doing the same thing. You're still serving the same chicken rice, you're still serving the same fish and noodles, and the vegetable option that you don't have. So to me, that was heartbreaking, man. So on your tombstone, that's what it'd say.
Chicken or fish?
I hated both options. Actually, there's a beef option if you go to a business class, if you ask them very nicely.
No, I mean your tombstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Realize,
yeah.
Amanda Amar Sekhar. Chicken or fish?
Tea or coffee, sir? Chicken or fish? And I hated that, right? That would be absolutely terrible. So then I took a chance on modeling, and I somehow made that work. I'm not going to say that at no point was it that I didn't have my lows.
Fear of failure?
Fear of failure was very, very much there. And I remember for my 26th or 7th birthday, a commercial bank called me, which is the bank I invested in. Hi, commercial bank, how's it going? And called me and said, hey, you know what? There's no more money left in your account. I said, yo, happy birthday to you too, man. Thanks so much. So that is almost always a very viable and realistic thing, right? But I also believe that... Do you know that at the age of 15, a child hears the word yes maybe about 6,000 to 7,000 times?
Who counted?
And on average. And they have heard the word no about double or triple of that.
I understand.
Right. So then if your entire life you were taught that you can't do something, you will go on to believe that you can't do it. So you have to... Sorry, our water girl has to do a water thing. Thanks, water girl, Rishali. So coming back to this, it was very heartbreaking, and it kept me up a very many nights to know that, all right, what if my plan would fail? But then it all comes down to, are you willing to invest or to believe in yourself more than every other voice out there? And then you just keep at it, man. Like, for example, how many successful failures do you know?
About you?
In life. No, not about me. Like, successful failure stories without Rocky.
Rocky.
Without Rocky.
Rocky.
Rocky's a make-believe character.
Oh, my God.
Without Rocky, what other successful people...
I'm going to talk about Rocky.
I'm not going to listen about Rocky. Okay? I'm going to say this. I accept that Rocky might have been a successful story. Outside of Rocky...
Changed my life.
Outside Thanks. Of... Outside of Rocky being a quote-unquote successful franchise, what else or who else do you know was a successful failure?
Do you know about the script of Rocky? So, I mean, everything about Rocky is about a successful failure.
Okay, this is going to be Yoshan's monologue period. You guys enjoy this.
So, there was this man named Sylvester Stallone. I hope you're listening to this, Mr. Stallone, because it's me, Yoshan, a big fan. So he wrote the script. And everyone's like, you suck. And nobody was willing to buy the script. He ran out of money. He couldn't feed his family. He couldn't feed his dog. It came to the point where he had to sell his dog.
Right.
Just to make ends meet.
Right.
A couple of studios were willing to buy the script. But they didn't want him to act in it. Because he was an unknown actor at the time.
Right.
But he was like, no. He believed in the script. He believed that he's the only one who could play the character Rocky.
Right.
Then finally he went to, I forget the studio name now. I think it's TriStar or like, damn.
Two Star, yeah.
No, I can't remember the
One
name.
Star.
Anyway, they saw the script and they bought it for a very low price.
Okay.
Because he wanted to act in it.
Right.
And the film ended up winning an Oscar. It changed my life. Like that film made me believe that anyone can rise up no matter what adversities you're facing.
Right.
He kept standing up no matter what, and that really, I don't know, it inspired me. It changed my life.
Okay.
And I'm sure that if you gave it a chance,
okay,
it could.
Right. So now, outside of Rocky, who are the other successful failures you know?
Colonel Sanders.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So till late into his 60s, he couldn't make ends meet. His recipe was not considered great.
Right.
I think 65 or 66. Should we ask our fact girl?
Your fact checker.
Fact checker. Fact checker, what are you doing?
Colonel
There's
Sanders.
No camera on her. She's literally dozing off.
I think Colonel Sanders' whole thing was 61 or 2.
So he failed quite a bit.
Right.
I think he lost his family, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
But then at 65 or something, I can't remember again the age, 62 maybe. Somebody's like, yeah, that's great.
Made the world's best chicken.
Yeah, and then he had enough money to make fun of the family that left him.
Right.
I think.
Which is.
I'm not sure. I don't know the facts yet.
Everybody's gone.
I honestly don't know the real story.
Right.
Rashali is checking the facts right now.
Rashali, who is.
At 88, Colonel Sanders became a multi-billionaire.
At what age?
88.
That's not the thing. When did his recipe get successful?
Sorry, our fact check girl is also.
Yeah, she's. Still learning.
Yeah.
She's still a teenager.
I would also say that along with Colonel Sanders, there was also the gentleman who invented Belvedere.
I have no idea what that is.
The alcohol.
Oh.
Okay. It's either Belvedere or Grey Goose. And I know that is also supposed to be 665.
Okay.
I know J.K. Rowling. 65. See, fact check girl knows that.
What? KFC?
Yeah.
KFC she's talking about.
Oh, KFC. Belvedere, please.
I told you 65.
Yeah, 65.
Did his family leave him?
I think we're bombarding self check.
Yeah,
okay, good. So what I'm trying to say is we all know successful failures, right?
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling, Thomas Edison.
Yeah. Edison?
Thomas Alva Edison, no?
Yeah, he stole everything from Nikola Tesla.
Right. But hey, man, look, successful businessman. Maybe he wasn't the best on this side, but hey, business-wise, man made a profit.
If you want to see the film Current Wars, it's there.
Michael Jordan?
I have no idea.
Okay. I think the point I'm trying to drive here is there's very, very evident examples of living success even now, right? But because we're told and pushed the idea that, oh, if you do that, if you take a chance on yourself, you will fail. And you have to go by the blueprint that was set for us and was set for my father and my father before him. If you only go through this way, will you ever succeed? And by succeed, we mean you will ever come out of this nonsensical race called life. That we choose to live this very close-minded, close-paced thing. I think if we all maybe took a chance on our lives just a bit more than we give ourselves credit for, maybe society in general stands to gain another Rocky Balboa.
What a reference. So beautiful.
Okay.
Felt it in my boca.
Did you?
In the boca.
Boca being said, bro, and all these failures being pushed down your throat, how or what have you learned? What have you learned to unlearn about the failures that were instilled in you?
Well, everything that I've learned.
Everything.
So everything that I've learned in regards to failure is me preparing myself on how I'm going to treat my daughter.
Okay. Well.
And like, for example, I know it's hard. It's in my blood. Like, I want her to do great in sports.
You just want her to do karate.
It doesn't have to be karate. It has to be a
full contact sport.
Full contact sport.
Yara, if you're watching this, full contact sport. Are you doing it right now? And if not, is your child, are you disappointed?
No, not at all. Not even a bit. Not even a bit. Not even a bit. She can be...
He's crying.
She cannot... If she doesn't want to do sports, I'm fine with it. That's what I have learned. That's the whole point.
Right.
I've learned that...
Right.
You don't have to do a sport.
Right.
You don't have to do a sport.
Right.
You really don't have to do a sport. She could play chess.
Yeah, right. Chess.
Chess.
Full context sport.
Yeah, so right. I've learned that not to compare with other kids. Mm-hmm. Right now it's happening. I can see other kids being compared. And
to her. You're like, yeah, my kid's better than your kid.
It's like this, my kid can do. Can your daughter do it? And I'll be like, eh, she'll do it eventually. I mean, there's no rush.
Right.
At some point, she's going to learn how to do it. And if she doesn't, I'm there to help her. Right, as best as I can. Her grandparents are there, her teachers are there, right? Like, maybe she cannot identify colors yet. Her friends at her age identify colors, that's fine. Right. She's going to identify at some point, oh, she's colorblind. I mean, then we have to treat her
according to that.
So it shouldn't be like, oh my god, you can't check your colors, what's wrong with you? And you know, you shouldn't, this is again, I'm telling you what I have learned,
right?
You shouldn't put that insecurity onto her, right? It's the parents' insecurity,
right?
And you should always make her feel that, right, even if you are failing, we will not be disappointed in you. We'll be proud that you tried.
Wow.
That's the main thing. Like, that's the whole film about Rocky also, so.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's a great story.
So that's what I want my daughter to feel. Even if she's going to fail terribly, she will.
Right.
Everyone does. It's about how she overcomes it, moves forward.
Are you quoting Rocky?
I'm not. I'm choosing simile words. Yeah.
This is the Rocky speech, man. All right, go for it, Joshua. That's another monologue number two. Yeah, go for it.
And the fact is, I'm not going to be like, ah, you fail. What's wrong? Why didn't you come first, you know, as you went through two cents, your academics. What I'm going to say instead is, you tried your best. Second place is great. You participated. I mean, that's a big achievement.
Right.
You were in the ring.
Okay.
Oh, for the exam, all right, you didn't score well this time. We'll try. Do you want help from me? Huh? Do you want help from another teacher? Or maybe you need some different learning aid.
Right.
Maybe you cannot learn from the books. Maybe you need to learn from videos, you know?
Right.
There's so many ways you can overcome. Nowadays, there's a million ways to teach a child.
Right.
When we were in school, we were very limited. It's either the book or the highway.
Right.
Or the slipper.
Right.
Nowadays, you have YouTube, you have videos, these animations, you know.
Right.
There's so many ways you can help a child get excited about learning. Right. And we need to find those ways instead of saying, failure. Yeah. And then that child will not be afraid to fail, I feel. Mm-hmm. And even if they fail, they know how to cope. That's something a lot of people cannot do. They cannot cope failure.
Right.
And then they end up doing something really bad to themselves. Walking few steps above the ground, like he invented cricket, like he taught Don Bradman how to play. Sweat dripping, lips touching, the moon shining. It's so exciting. Hello, Rani, ne ye danna the mokka dune orai amma. I have to make sure the electricity board doesn't plan to cut power. If they cut power, I can't take the cassette out.
Moda Abhimanaya 4.0 Lokitam ekai avuruddatam eka davasai. Miss vechai dang online balana slvlog.lk vepadavir pivisenna.
I think this is very prevalent when especially when it comes to like universities and
stuff. Yeah. University or the pressures there. Have you experienced?
Look, man, to be very honest and to call myself out with regards to my academics, the only reason why I went to uni, and that was ACBT, was when I was working in Avance. And that was because my boss told me that if I had a degree, I can get paid more. That was the only reason why I wanted to do higher education. And of that, I think I was in ACBT for about a year. And I did a couple of sports. The economics part of it was interesting. The business studies part of it was fun. The statistics part of it was absolute crack, and I didn't understand it, and I didn't like it.
He's bad at math.
Terrible at math. I'm not terrible at math. I'm actually pretty good at math. It's just the stats part was shit.
That's all the math.
I didn't like that. So I think I didn't really feel it as much. Did you, though?
Well, I went to Marine School.
Okay.
And it was just a bunch of dudes.
Wow.
So I didn't really experience the university life.
What is this university life
about? I don't know. You know, I watch American Pie. I didn't experience any of that.
Oh, right.
I mean, we got pie, but that's as far it went.
What kind of, okay, but I don't want to ask what kind of pie. All right, keep going.
Yeah, so, but yeah, once I got in, like when I was in school, again, getting the grades and all, the pressure
you
was...
You said pie, yeah?
Yeah, chicken.
Oh, pie. Right, pie, okay, right.
What pie are you thinking?
No, keep going, okay. So?
Feels like we need to press the sensor button somewhere on there. Yeah, so then when I was in school, again, failing was bad. Like when you get grades not so great and all, yeah, there was a lot of pressure. When you go home, there's a lot of, you know, some words exchanged and all that. True. But when you go to university, it's more pressured because one is the fees are much higher.
Right.
I got some scholarships when I was in school.
Oh, fancy buggers.
So when I was in university, it was like we had to pay.
Right.
And I had chosen this, you know, I mean, like, okay, I want to do this kind of a thing. And like there was a lot of after this he's gonna earn
expectations. Right.
Then companies that are hiring you are looking into it. So there's a lot of pressure.
Right.
Into going into campus and you know, doing well, getting the correct right results. So I really studied hard when I was in campus compared to when I was in school.
Right.
I didn't do any extra activities in campus. Just studying. We were forced to do PT. That's a different thing.
Right.
Wake up 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning and run till we couldn't run.
Okay.
But, yeah. The failure aspect was more, I think, in campus.
Okay.
You didn't have that.
Not at all, man. I think I... Because my thing was I had to pay for my higher education myself. So I knew I was messing up, but I just couldn't be asked because the reason for me doing my higher education was solely for money.
But the fact that you didn't complete it, does it feel like a failure to you?
Not really. Now that I look back at it in retrospect, back then it really was a thing because I would watch my friends go abroad and I knew that a lot of them were like really enjoying life and they were thriving because, you know, Facebook just came out then and nothing better to do than when you're going through bloody sales reports and then your friend's picture pops up saying, hey, we're having this sort of party.
Because Facebook reflects the true life of your friends.
Yeah.
Instagram reflects the true life.
Instagram is 100% true. Okay, believe everything I say. That being said, to me, it was the fact that I was the only one left here. At least it felt that way.
So which worked out great for me.
I was the only one left here, and I always thought that maybe I was a failure to my parents, and that if maybe had I studied a bit more, which I didn't want to do, at least they would be happier, and maybe I wouldn't be going through this. So it was a lot of that whole dealing with my own feelings and coming to terms with the fact that, all right, maybe I am a failure, but then how do I at least try to pull something out of this?
Would you grade this as your worst failure, or was there a time where you felt like you failed worse and you were miserable and you were at the bottom of the barrel and, you know, like you thought that it's going to just be dark for the rest of the...
I think, and not to bring the mood down too much, but there was a very low in my life where work wasn't going the way I wanted it to. Life wasn't going the way I wanted to. And because of that, I thought the only way out was to check myself out permanently, right? And I would drink until I wouldn't feel anything. And every time I felt that I was getting slightly sober, I would smoke a couple of cigs. And I would just always try to be in that state of inebriation because I couldn't deal with reality. And I always was under the assumption that everybody I know would have been better off without me being in the picture. So I did take, I think I took an insurance policy against my life. And then I was just hoping that I would be able to either smoke my way to self-deletion or drink my way into some permanent slumber that I would just never wake up from. And every day in the morning when I woke up and I realized, oh shit, I had to go back to work, it would be a more, I'd live another day.
That life insurance is still there?
No, yeah, I stopped being that long time back.
I want to know if I was in it.
Yeah. No. It's just my mom.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Auntie's also like, damn it.
I think that, and that was my...
I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but you have to understand that there's a lot of people who go through that.
I think so too.
And you need to find the proper help and talk about it.
Yeah.
There's a stigma, you know, I shouldn't talk about these things, I'll be less of a man, you know, all that nonsense. It's not. You absolutely must talk about it if you want your friend to a counselor. Because you have to understand, no matter how little you think about yourself, your life is so valuable. Your life is insanely valuable.
Oh, fair enough. I won't be the success story I am right now if I did anything.
Yeah, your life is incredibly valuable, not only for you, but for everyone else.
But then see, that jumps back into failure, right? Because then if you admit to your friend that, hey man, look, nothing is working the way I want it to work, I think I'm going to do something, you are admitting to that person that I am not mentally successful and I need some sort of help. And especially in countries like Sri Lanka, I think there is still a stigma where if you need some sort of counseling, then there's something wrong with you, right? And that wrong cannot be fixed. It's almost a permanent wrong to your name. And that you shouldn't be, especially guys, and I know this, a lot of my friends, that they shouldn't turn to their friends. They should only show this one very two-dimensional side of them where it's, I'm happy and I'm fine and that's it. And nothing beyond that.
That's the whole that culture that the men have developed from years and years and years. You know, walk it off, rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, you're mentality. A guy. Yeah, walk it off.
So yeah, but I feel like that's a wrong approach.
Right.
When you are mentally failing also, it takes a man to admit it.
Yeah.
It takes a man to admit that you are mentally failing.
Right.
Admitting that you failed is also a very manly thing to do.
Absolutely.
And then talking about it with your friend. Again, you have to pick your friends. You have to pick someone who's going to be there to listen and not use it against you and, you know, make you feel worse. Like, bro, I screwed up. You screwed up.
I knew it. What a loser. Yeah.
It could be. It has to be someone who's your support system.
Right.
Right. And you have to pick the right friend.
Right.
And in case you don't feel the friend is trustworthy, go to a counselor. You don't have to tell anyone you're going to a counselor if you're afraid of it.
Right.
But there's no reason to feel shy or bad to going because you're trying to fix yourself. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just trying to make yourself feel better.
Right.
Yeah.
I also think, bro, that a lot of guys, because I went to this men's group thing recently. One of the interesting things was a gentleman said that he feels that he can't, and he's somebody who listens to a lot of people's problems, but there's nobody listen to him. And this, I think, is a very prevalent issue in, especially Sri Lankan men, brown guys in general, where you feel that you have to be this rock of Gibraltar and you can't really move for anybody else. And there's nobody for you. And you're going to figure that out. But what you fail to understand is that you can't keep pouring from an empty cup. Right? There's nothing to give. And if you don't take care of yourself, physically, mentally, and spiritually, then you can't take care of anybody else. Right? And that is something that needs to be resounded more and more and more, because we keep coming back to hearing how there was a sad situation where somebody felt a certain way, and because they felt that there's no other way out and this is the best thing for everybody else around them, check out.
So get the correct help.
Yeah.
Don't feel ashamed.
Yeah.
If you can get to this men's circle, it's very helpful. I feel like there's a lot of ways now where you can help yourself.
Right.
It's not like back then. It's not a, oh, we shouldn't talk about it. Oh my God, it's so taboo, you know?
Yeah.
It's something we should openly talk about. And if you're feeling down and you're feeling like you want to do something like this, speak to someone. Find support. Don't take rash decisions, yeah?
And there's always anonymous ways that you can go about it. And it's all online. So if you need someone to talk to, just literally just Google it out.
And again, admitting failure is a very, it's a masculine thing.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have failed, and then what you're going to do from there
is Rocky. Oh my God. that's the last time we'll quote Rocky for the day.
Admitting that you're failing and then standing up, you know, no matter, life will give you so many punches. The measure of the man is how you rise up.
Are you going to sing the song now? No, thank God. Okay. Just on coming back to all this, all right? So now, this happened to you at a young age, it happened to me at a young age. I'm sure it happened to plenty of people up and down, right? What sort of effects do you think that has on a small community and forget small community, on society in general?
Well, the whole failure concept, yeah, on society makes the society afraid to try.
Right.
That's what I feel. Like, they're afraid to try new things and they're afraid to fail. What people will say, what people will make fun of me.
What their neighbors will say.
Right. For example, now I'm doing stand-up, right?
Right.
I'm still not very proud to tell my extended family about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Because that's not really a respectable Sri Lankan job.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Right. It's not a doctor, lawyer, you know.
Engineer. It's not STEM. Right?
It's not STEM. Yeah. So if I am to tell them that I'm a comedian, I'm afraid that in their eyes they see me as a
failure.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm afraid of that. Right. So again, perception. It's the perception. You have to believe that you have become a failure. If you don't believe that, you can overcome it in certain ways. Mm. Right. But how about you? When you failed, what did you do to overcome? Like, what were the tactics you used? Like, maybe you can tell our viewers, if you are to fail, what are the things that you could do now to overcome and, you know?
I think the biggest thing you can do, bro, is to, first of all, admit the fact that, look, maybe you're in a point in life where you need help. I think, again, it comes back to the fact that people are scared to ask for help, right? And if you really look at it and ask maybe 20 people, I feel that a majority of people are willing to help, whether they have your best interest in mind or not. The thing you're looking for is a way out or to succeed from this problem. So if you come up to someone and say, look, I have a drinking problem, for example, I'm sure there's a large participation of audience who is willing to help you through that, as opposed to people who are just going to point and laugh. So asking for help is the best way to go about it. Thinking you can do it by yourself is a very, very motivational thing, I agree. But at the same time, the chances of that failing in itself. Wow, see what I did there? The chance of that failing is a lot higher, as opposed to, you know, you actually working your way through the problem. So I think that's where having like a really strong foundation inside and having a very strong peer group that you associate comes into effect.
So you are telling me that the friend circle?
I think it is that your friends are so influential in you or on you that if you surround yourself with 9 smokers, you will become a 10th smoker. But if you surround yourself with 9 millionaires or 9 billionaires, at least you'll end up being a millionaire, right? That is the power of a good friend circle. That's just how influential people are on you.
I go to a gym.
He didn't come today.
That's the reason. That's not part of the podcast.
There we go. All right. I think... Okay, let me throw this at you. Now that you're a parent, all right? If you... Now that you're an adult and a parent, if you could talk to your parents and address the sense of you're not good enough that they've instilled in you, what would you tell them?
As an adult or as a kid?
As an adult. Right now, if you could talk to your parents.
Yeah, I'd be like, I tried my best.
Right.
I tried my best at all times. When I was doing my studies, I thought that this is the best I could do. When I was doing my sports, I thought this is the best I could do, right? So right now, if I was to say that, I'm going to say that I tried my best. I don't regret any of it because I know I did my best. If I didn't do my best, you know, if I was just lazing around, not practicing, not attending classes, okay, that's a sense of regret.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't have that because I know I tried my best. And while doing my best, I failed. And my parents may have been disappointed, but I'm going to tell them now that, you know, I'm not disappointed in myself.
Yeah, that's your problematic, right? No, okay. That's great. I think that's a great point.
What about you? Something you would like to tell your parents? If
I think I'd agree with you, man. I think it's pretty much the same story. I really did try.
Should we ask our viewers?
Yeah, hey, man, look. Sir, ma'am. If you had the option of now being an adult, if you could talk to your parents and asked why they put you through that, that do or die situation, what would you tell your parents? You can always comment below, or you can actually literally go ask your parents. Would you go and talk to your parents?
No.
Okay, well, I hope you do. I'm so glad this podcast is a very one-way thing. I hope you, the viewers, do something about that because your child's not going to. But I think as adults, we should be having those conversations.
We should. And I feel like with the next generation, those conversations will happen.
As in your daughter will ask?
Yeah, I think my daughter will have...
Why do you like Rocky so much? Such a lame movie. This is your daughter. I'm pretending to be a daughter.
You're lucky that I'm heavy for having jumped over the table and shown you. Yeah, so what about your life now? Do you regret the choices you have made, the failures you have made? Or do you feel like you could have done better? Or you feel like you have done enough? Like, not the future. I'm talking about the past.
Oh, definitely not enough. And I would be lying to say that sense of failure that was instilled in me is done, is eradicated. But I think I'm pretty happy with where I am right now. If I had the chance to do more, I definitely would do more. And I do have plans to do more. But it's also a very realistic thing to understand that being overly positive and saying, I'm going to do all these things, make no sense. And you can only do what you can do. You can do the best you can do. But you don't understand that the best you can do is literally the best you can do. And that is just that. But trying again and trying harder, maybe. But I think, to come back to your point, I think I'm happy with where I am. Are you happy with where you are?
I'm absolutely happy with where I am. I never thought that I was going to do comedy.
Right.
I never thought that I was going to have a kid. I mean, you see my school self. Did you think that I was going to be responsible enough to have a kid?
I thought that would be a mistake and that would be a kid. I didn't think you'd be responsible to have a kid.
I mean, I have a great job. I work on ships. there are the ups and downs.
Hey, what is your position in the ship?
I'm a chief officer.
Hey, chief. Okay.
Yeah. So there are the ups and downs of that. The challenges I enjoy.
Right.
I love that I can make people laugh, right, which in school I didn't think I could do. I love that I'm having my friend circle has become so small now compared to where when I was in school, and I'm very happy about it.
Right.
I have like three friends.
Right.
That's about it, and they know everything about me. I know everything about them, and that has made my life more stable.
Right.
And the fear of failure is still there.
Right.
It's still surrounding me because now that I have a family, I have it, but I have found ways to deal with it.
Right.
I found ways where I will be like, okay, I'm afraid to do it. Let me try it. You know, have my support system, my friends,
right,
or my wife, talk to them about it, try it. If I fail, you know, there's a way of coping with that.
Right.
You know, so as a viewer, you also should feel like it's okay to fail, right? Failure is not so bad, right? It gets a step closer to your success.
Right.
The more failures you have, it means you're trying, you're not giving up. You should have these failures.
Right.
These failures are the stories you're going to talk about when you go to a TEDx talk.
Right.
No one's going to give a rat's about the success part. They're going to be like, how did you fail? What should I not do?
Right.
Yeah. Then you get a TEDx talk, you'll be like, I failed doing that, I failed doing this, I failed doing that, I failed doing this. And it's like, so beautiful.
So motivational.
So motivational. TEDx, call me, please. And the other thing is the school version of yourself.
Right.
Your younger self. When he's... In case he had a time machine, right? And if he is to come to the present and he sees you, right? And he's going to be like, all these failures that I'm experiencing now is right, worth it. Because I'm going to end up being this. That is something you should be proud of, you know?
Right.
Like, if you fail, it can go either way. You can be like, oh, I fail. I hate my life. La, 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 la.
And let's go.
And go.
Right.
Or you fail and go the rocky part.
Oh, my God.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Learn a lesson.
Right.
And don't do that mistake. And don't fail.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, take a chance. Don't give up. Keep failing. Yeah. Right. You don't agree with me?
I do.
Look at the audience. Tell them. Let's keep failing.
I do.
We have to keep failing together.
We have to keep failing together.
Find our success.
Find our success.
And then scream to each other, that's so bro.
Scream to each other, that's so bro.
And that is our session today. I hope you had a roller coaster ride and you got a new perspective on failure and how to overcome it.
And the Rocky movie series.
Oh, you love it.
All right. Well, with that, you guys, thank you so much for watching. We will catch you guys next week.
That's so bro. That's so bro.